are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Wednesday. It is the offseason. No more crossover Wednesdays. We're going to take it back to the old school, and it'll be Winky Wednesdays most weeks from here on out through the offseason. So my guest today is, of course, Mr. Nick Winkler. Going to bring him on momentarily. A quick reminder to subscribe, rate, review the show. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can also email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We've got the other social media stuff, Facebook and Instagram as well. And but Twitter and email are the best places to get to me if you want to be involved in a mailbag segment, which we're going to be doing a lot of those. There's a lot to talk about this offseason, and we're going to dip into that mailbag today with Mr. Nick Winkler. And it also pays to listen to Locked On 49ers and follow me on Twitter and Facebook, because I'm going to give away that jersey as a big thank you, and to culminate the celebration of reaching 1 million downloads in 2018, we are going to pick that winner and announce that winner of the 49ers jersey today. So let's bring on today's guest.
Action News 8 Sports with Nick Winkler.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, good, man. Season's over, but, you know, let's start looking towards 2019, right?
Oh, yeah. So much to get to. I had to change it up with your intro. I hadn't used the Action 8 Sports in a while.
Well, I mean, it's been 10 years almost since I was on Action News 8. But wow. Yeah, it's still fresh.
Yeah. Oh, it's fresh for me, man. It'll always be fresh. As will
I
your,
love that.
As will your appearance on the game show, because that's like...
I need to find you a cut of Pat Sajak saying, this is Nick Winkler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can get my Wheel of Fortune on there as
Dude,
well.
Yes. Yeah, you got to find that Wheel of Fortune. You're all over the place.
I mean, it's on my YouTube, but it's not. They keep taking it down. Viacom or whoever owns the rights to that old. Yeah, I know. I have it on a private one, so maybe I'll just cut it up and send it to you.
There you go. Let's do that. Let's see. Before we get into all this, we got a mailbag. We've got a lot of talk about. There's some fun stuff happening as in some place in America was ringing midnight, and George Kittle and Antonio Brown were tweeting at each other. So I think that's going to be a fun topic. But first, we got to give away that jersey. So let's do that now. This is how I decided to do it. And it really made no sense. And I don't know if I would even land in the same spot if I did it again.
Those are the best, though.
Right. So what I did is I took the 1,377 yards that George Kittle ended up with. I divided that by 49. So that gave me the number 28. But before I did this, I decided that if it was an odd number, I was going to go to Facebook and pick somebody from there. If it was an even number, I was going to go to Twitter. So when you divide 1,377 by 49, you get 28 point whatever. So rounded to 28. And so that meant I'm going to go to Twitter. And then I found a random spot in all of the replies. I counted from 28 there. And I ended up with my guy at Craigles Bagels, who is the winner of the 49ers jersey. So DM me Craigles Bagels. And it was really awesome seeing how everybody listens to the show, and you get pictures of people's cats and people listening to the show with their significant others, which I think is important. If you're listening with your boyfriend or girlfriend, I think that means, I mean, that's telling that you should probably put a ring on that, because if you're listening to Locked On 49ers together, that's a pretty special thing.
You got to take that next step.
Right, exactly. People listening in the shower was common. I'm surprised I only got one, a picture of someone's feet when they were sitting on the porcelain throne listening to the show. And I'm surprised that isn't more common.
You didn't get any of anybody driving, did you? Because that's super dangerous.
A lot of the car, and you would see the Bluetooth, but I hope nobody was driving when they took those photos. I didn't see any where they were actually in motion.
That's automatic disqualification.
Right. but Craigles Bagels on Twitter. Craig is the winner, and he listens while he delivers packages as a UPS man. So that helps keep him sane, he says, while he's delivering packages. And that's pretty cool, because he needs that, because I'm sure it was insane for him around the holidays delivering all these packages to everybody. I'm sure everyone is happy that their UPS man comes by and brings them all their stuff more and more these days, as most shopping is happening online now. So
what do you think the chances are that he gets the package that you send him? Like, if he delivers it?
I'm definitely sending it FedEx, because I don't know if I trust these UPS people, judging by his photo.
Do you think it's weird if you like if you have his job and all of a sudden you're like, wait, this is to me?
That's
right,
dude. Yeah, it's like
I never thought about that before. Like, oh, all right, I'll just put this in the passenger seat.
And I hope someone doesn't like steal it off of his doorstep or something.
Right, he leaves it for himself. He's like, I'll get this later. I'm on the clock. I can't open my door.
So I'm not gonna shout it out on Twitter yet because this is the night before currently that we're recording this. So I want him to hear it live on the podcast. Hopefully he hears it and DMs me. If not, I'll get a hold of him. And then
congratulations, Mr. Bagels.
Yes, I don't want to ruin it before he gets a chance to hear it live on the podcast as he's probably delivering packages on Wednesday. So thanks to Craig. Thanks to everybody. I loved seeing how people were listening to the show. And just again, thank you to everybody who has been listening for 2018, and hopefully that continues and that momentum keeps growing in 2019, and we'll be at 2 million. Maybe we'll give away two jerseys next year.
There we go. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's see here. I guess
we got to start building the hype or what?
For the draft or for the trade?
2019 49ers. Woo! Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think people are like, let's not do that again.
Right.
I don't think people's hearts can handle that, man.
I know. We definitely, you know, everybody was doing it too. It made a lot of sense at the time. You know, you looked at it and the math equation added up, and then we forgot to take in all the variables.
It was funny. I think it was Matt Barrows who wrote an article for The Athletic talking about how it was the most boring season ever. It was the worst season for him covering the team because he's covered worse teams, but usually mm-hmm. there's some internal strife, and there was none of that. So there was not a lot of sensational stuff to talk about. There was at least a couple of storylines with Kittle and Mullins. But he said it was like when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, it was like you're watching a movie and the killer gets revealed 20 minutes into the movie.
It's like all the air just came out of the tires.
There's so much hype for the season, and then it just went away that quickly early in the year.
We took such a gut punch, too, with McKinnon right before the season started. And you're like, no, we can handle this. We'll be all right.
And then the almost trade for Khalil Mack where you thought, oh, this could happen. Right. And then, no, that's not going to happen either. Garoppolo goes down. And I think a lot of people didn't want to hear it, too, because they were kind of excited mm-hmm. still. And they're like, oh, no, we're still going to – it's okay. But it's like it was pretty obvious. It's like, oh, this is not going to be a good year. Another lost year, and it was lost for so long, which made it, I think, kind of difficult. But now you needed to take that medicine if you're the 49ers. Mm-hmm. And now in 2019, you're like, okay, we can't screw around. We can't be just good enough. We've got to be really good, and we've got to win early. So I think the 49ers are going to be more urgent in the offseason. I think we're going to see trades. I think we're going to see them go harder in free agency than they have so far the first 2 years. So it's going to be a really interesting one.
Yeah, I know that we're going to get to some of these questions, but yeah, I mean, obviously, with all you mentioned, George Kittle, you know, flirting with Antonio Brown, which is awesome. OBJ might be available as well. I mean, these are some big name wide receivers that would really take this franchise to the next level. I mean, these are the kind of moves that if you want to make a splash and you really want to show your franchise that, you know, or your fan base that you're ready to win now, like those are one of the moves you got to make. You got to trade some guys or trade some draft picks and possibly get one of those two guys, right?
You absolutely do. You know what? Actually, that's a good teaser point. Let's take our quick break here, and then we'll get into the trade options, especially that chatter. It's got to have some people pretty excited. If it doesn't even happen, then it's at least fun to talk about with Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham. All right, so I would still put the over-under at like 2% chance that this happens.
You know? Either one of them, right.
Right, so... But I guess if they're both 2%, that gives you a 4% chance that you land one, right? Is that how that works?
So you're telling me there's a chance.
But Antonio Brown, that was the one that was funny because he's like publicly, it's funny. This day and age, there's no quote. His quote is an emoji with starry eyes.
Right.
Quoting back to George Kittle, who said, sup.
Sup. he was like a late night booty call text or tweet.
It was
like,
midnight. They're both drunk, and it was absolutely a booty call.
Yeah. He's like, booty call, come to San Francisco. Come on down to Santa Clara. Dude, we got a spot for you. Come on. Door's open. Just come on, let yourself in.
That's a great call. That was definitely a booty call, and Antonio Brown answered that call and was happy about it. And if you haven't heard, Antonio Brown missing practices, got into some sort of – I don't know if you've found out or heard. I haven't heard any specifics about what happened with – Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown the last week leading up to the Week 17 game. And then Antonio Brown's not practicing. They said it was like a knee thing, but it really wasn't. He just wasn't playing, which is like – that's kind of a bad sign too, because that's the other question. Both Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, the reason they would be available, do you want that diva behavior? Do you want a guy who – look, the Steelers were fighting for a playoff spot. They were a win and you're in playoff week 17 game that he wasn't there for.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe there, you know, maybe he was in the Le'Veon Bell camp the whole time, you know, and was still bitter about that. And, you know, I don't know. I would still want that just because I'll be completely honest with you. Losing sucks, man. And we've been doing it for too long now. And that's the kind of guy that what he comes in and we go 4-12. Oh, no. That's okay. Right. We're not going to sink any lower than we are right now. Right. I mean, you take a chance on a guy like this. You don't worry about what he's going to do in the locker room because you have guys like Richard Sherman. You know, you have guys, you have Kyle Shanahan. I can't imagine him taking crap from anybody either. You know, it's, I feel like you have to take that chance with either of those guys if they're available and they're not too expensive. I mean, let's be real here. Antonio Brown's 30 years old. There's a lot of tread on those tires. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., 26, but he get injured a lot. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, they're both risky, of course, but man, I would take either one of them right now.
And I think it'll cost more to get Odell because of that age.
Right.
So do you want to spend more for the younger player that could be around longer? Or do you want to spend less but have the older player who might be done sooner?
I think if I had to choose right now, I'd probably go after Brown just because I feel he's a better receiver, just first of all. And second of all, I feel like, yeah, you do want to develop younger guys behind him. You know, you bring him in right now and you have some younger guys behind him and hope that they develop in the next 2 or 3 years by the time he's, you know, 32, 33, and as wide receivers goes, done.
I agree. I would be looking to be the best you can be in 2019 yeah. and not worry about how far down the road these guys are signed for. Speaking of what they're signed for, I think the biggest reason why they wouldn't be traded is because of their contracts.
Yeah, they're relatively inexpensive.
And no, because the dead money that it would cost each team. So,
you mean if they traded them? Yeah, what's left on their cap.
Right. Like, you'd be fine for the 49ers taking it on. The 49ers would be right. Like, yeah, no problem. But as far as the Steelers trading away Antonio Brown or the Giants trading away Odell Beckham, they're going to have to eat a ton of money. And then they would eat a little bit less if they traded him after June 1st. But I think then it's like, okay, you went through the whole offseason. Maybe the 49ers add somebody else before that. Maybe they draft the guy and they're like, well, I don't know if we can, you know, I don't know if we want to trade a bunch of picks now for a guy when we already sort of addressed our needs. So if it was to happen, it would probably be an after June 1st thing unless these teams are okay with eating all that dead money. It's like $20 million for Brown and maybe $17 million for Odell.
Wow. Yeah, that's a ton.
Yeah. So, and it's not that they would have to pay them that money, although they would be, you know, they would have paid a lot, especially Odell. They paid him like $20 million this year. Eating the dead money and hurting your salary cap. That's the other thing, is if they can or can't do that. I mean, if they can't take that on, then it's a moot point and you can't trade a guy like that.
Yeah, so, I feel like if either of the teams were going to do it, it'd probably be the Giants, you know, as kind of like a reset. You know, you get rid of Eli, you get rid of Odell, you know, and you hope you get some early draft picks for OBJ. And then all of a sudden, you know, those guys are a lot cheaper. You know, so you can't afford to bring on guys like that, and you can eat that dead money, and maybe you do get a first round pick out of it, or a first and a third, or I have no idea what a guy like that would go for at this point.
That's the other thing, is the 49ers aren't going to trade their first round pick that's super high,
right?
Number two overall, but maybe it's part of a, you know, a lot of people are talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars trade with.
You wouldn't trade that pick for OBJ straight up?
No, and I don't think they would have to. But here's the other thing. So
really, I mean, Khalil Mack, 2 first-round picks. I mean,
that's the difference in a team that, well, I mean,
I'm not saying that the 49ers would do it. I just think that they could get that.
Oh, absolutely. That's the other part of it, is so Antonio Brown might get less.
Yeah.
Which is why you would. Right. And the fact that there's maybe two guys available, or maybe even maybe like a guy like AJ Green could become available because they're kind of resetting things in Cincinnati. So there might be multiple players that are actually available.
Yeah.
But if you're the 49ers, like, trading a first rounder is fine, but trading the number two pick is a little bit different. So maybe after a trade down, or maybe the 49ers trade out of pick number two, get a bunch of extra future picks, and then you have multiple picks. So you're like, oh yeah, we'll trade one of our extra first rounders that we got for moving down. And after June 1st, you're like, fine, yeah, we'll do that trade now. We'll trade you one of our future firsts, and we still have another first. That would make it a lot easier for the 49ers.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
And what would make that trade possible for the 49ers to move down would be a quarterback, like, say, Dwayne Haskins, who looked really good for Ohio State beating Washington in the Rose Bowl on Tuesday. So if you're a 49ers fan, you are hoping that Dwayne Haskins is the real deal and, first of all, decides to declare for the NFL draft and becomes that guy that everyone sees as QB1, and that the fact that there'd be only one quarterback that teams would really be like, this is the guy head and shoulders above everybody else. Maybe there's a little trade action and even a bidding war for teams trying to get in front of each other to get that one franchise quarterback that's in the draft. That would help the 49ers so much.
Yeah, we need to go on some sort of guerrilla marketing campaign where we're just really pushing for this guy, you know, really just hyping him up in all forms of media. And you know, that way your teams are really buying into him, because that's, we see it every year. You know, we see that all of a sudden these quarterbacks start shooting up the draft boards and now they're the greatest thing ever. Whereas, you know, at the beginning, at the end of the regular season, it's like, oh, yeah, this guy will be a mid to late first round pick. All of a sudden he's jumping up into the top five.
That happens, dude. Last year. Baker Mayfield, I was thinking, so this in December of 2017, I was thinking, ooh, Baker Mayfield, that's an interesting player. Actually, even this, so going back to last year, October, before Jimmy Garoppolo was traded for, Baker Mayfield, I was looking at, I was like, ooh, that might be my guy. And I was thinking, he's barely 6 feet tall.
Yeah, that offseason stuff with the cop camera. Right.
Bounced around to a couple of colleges, and you're like, okay, that might be your guy, top of the second round, that early second round pick for the 49ers. That might be the quarterback. And then people are talking about first rounders, like, okay, and then top 10 is like, oh, wow, okay. And number one overall is like, no, come on, really?
Yeah.
And so Baker Mayfield went all the way up from what most people thought would maybe be a second rounder in October to number one overall. So,
he looks like a leader, too. I mean, he looks legit.
Yeah. Although, you know what? I think that his thing might get tired if he starts losing. So
I can see that.
Yeah, so it's like he's got a little bit of a front runner mentality, which is great when you're winning. Everybody loves you. The sharks will come out if he's acting silly and they're losing games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just something that, you know, just it's going to happen. So prepare for that.
Nah, he doesn't necessarily have to lose. Why?
Well, come on. He'll lose at some point.
Nah,
even if it's
why?
Like, even if like they're good and he goes to the playoffs and loses in the NFC Championship game and then melts down, you know, all it takes is a loss, you know, a situation where it's like he didn't handle himself
that
right.
Temperamental, it's just one thing, boom, done.
He seems to be pretty wound up about everything, which is what makes him good too. So
right.
You don't want him to lose that edge.
He's got to walk that fine line, yeah.
But yeah, he's got a little bit of front runner mentality. That's the way I put it with him. And so we'll see. We'll see what happens. Who knows? I mean, he did it in college. He was grabbing his junk on the sideline.
Right.
He's a 23-year-old, 5th-year senior. You know, it's not like he was a kid doing that. So he couldn't
even run away from a cop.
Right. Yeah, he needs to be more athletic, first of all, if you can't outrun a cop that's carrying 30 pounds of stuff on his waist.
Right.
So anyways, well, I don't even know how we got onto that, but...
What else is new, man?
Anyway, yeah, Dwayne Haskins, Ohio State quarterback, if he declares, 49ers fans should be rooting for him to be a trade-up worthy quarterback, and either the 49ers can get a windfall in trade offers at number two, or those people go all the way to number one in the Arizona Cardinals with those trades. Nick Bosa is sitting there for you at number two for the 49ers.
Yeah, like I said, man, guerrilla marketing campaign. Let's get started tomorrow.
Right. And here's
new year,
one other.
New campaign.
And you know what? Okay, let's continue the wide receiver conversation after we take a quick break. So a Shanahan quote that sticks with me here, and it's one of the reasons why I think the 49ers would be interested in making a big move for a wide receiver, say Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham or whoever becomes available, or still drafting a guy or whatever the best free agent wide receiver turns out to be, maybe if someone gets cut, who, you know, whatever. Shanahan was quoted saying that in 2019 – he envisioned Dante Pettis and Marquise Goodwin competing for the X position.
Right.
So he didn't.
Somebody in that Y.
Yeah, he didn't talk about them starting together. He talked about them competing on one side. So who's going to go on the other side? And Pierre Garçon was lined up as that Z spot. You know, you got your slot guys, I think, in James and Trent Taylor preset.
Right.
If you do move on, which I think they will, whether it's early in the offseason or post June 1st, moving on from Pierre Garçon, they're not going to just
cost a big hit, right?
I think that's why it'll be post June 1st, because it'll be a smaller hit and it won't matter. And it'll be actually a net gain, I think, at that point. They could still move on from him before that, too. But they're not going to give that job to Kendrick Bourne. Like, that would be insane. Right. Even though I liked what I saw from Kendrick Bourne, maybe let him compete with somebody.
Sure, but he's a fill-in guy.
Right, maybe let him compete with someone that you draft. So they're going to add a Z. They're going to add somebody. The question is it trade? Is it free agency? Is it draft?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think they're really eyeballing that position. And hearing Shanahan say that, that leaves no doubt. I thought they already would. But I love hearing him say that, because that was kind of the line of thinking I've always had is like, okay, you got to draft that alpha wide receiver, maybe as high as early second round. And so they're going to go that route. They could very well end up with one of these big time wide receivers. It's going to be a fun one, but there's going to be a big talent, I think, that's either a young player to develop or just a stud that comes in and is playing wide receiver across from whoever wins that competition between Pettis and Goodwin, who both have been injured quite a bit. So you kind of need two guys for that spot, really.
Yeah, and you need Bourne as well, because as you've seen, you know, we end the season the last 2 years with guys that nobody's even heard of. You know, you got Christian McCaffrey's brother out there taking snaps.
Yes, absolutely. And so then you've got some depth, and you've got guys that were young but also had a chance to play a lot the last couple of years.
Right.
And
that's a good thing, you know,
absolutely.
In the long run.
Yes,
grand scheme.
I totally agree. Let's get to that mailbag, yeah?
Sounds good.
Okay. Let's start with Dwayne on Facebook. He said, will the 49ers look to add any of the recently fired head coaches to their staff? If so, who and why? Thanks for taking my question and Happy New Year. Yeah, Happy New Year, Dwayne. I think that was addressed. And I think there might be some not fired head coaches. I don't think they're going to do anything at the top of the coaching staff for the 49ers. And Shanahan already said in his postseason wrap-up press conference, Saul is safe. So Saul is definitely coming back. That's that.
He should be. I mean, he finished strong.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, he did well enough for Nick Winkler to waffle.
Big
that's
time.
That's a powerful thing.
Dude, it's a ginormous waffle.
So Saul is coming back. Maybe they're going to look at the training staff. Maybe they're going to look at, they might look at other coaches below that, mm-hmm. but nothing big. So none of these ex-fired head coaches, unless someone's going to take a much lower job. But the coaching staff's going to pretty much be intact next year.
I like that. What about an assistant head coach?
Well, I guess there's room for that.
Yeah, I mean, he's out there calling the plays, right, on offense. So you got to bring somebody in that's got a lot of experience that can, help him see the grand scheme of things. Maybe sit up top and be in his ear.
Yeah, and or help with whatever throughout the week that's just stuff that piles up. Maybe maybe through his second season now, he's like, okay, we need one more guy. Like, I could see that right. being a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have thought they would have added somebody if he thought they needed one.
That's a good point. But, maybe he didn't think that. Now, after two seasons of failure, he'd be like, okay, maybe someone even was telling him, we should do this. He's like, no. And all of a sudden, he'd be like, okay, all right, I give in.
Right. No, that's true. And maybe and I think he's open enough to learn some things. And actually, that kind of goes along with what Renee tweeted at me here. He said, hey guys, I sent you an email a few months ago about this, but you said that football was a tough sport and you believe there was no relation between strength and conditioning staff and injuries. Any new opinions or comments about it, especially after Kyle Shanahan said, he's like, yeah, we have to look at it because there's been too many injuries. It's been 2 years now. We're going to have to at least look into it. And maybe that's just that. They'll look into it and be like, what are we going to do?
Right. Just draft new guys, that have stronger soft tissue. I don't know.
Maybe that's it. Pre-draft MRIs.
Yeah, there you go. You need to take a look at all of your joints. We need to take a look at your soft tissue. We're going to take a look inside. We want to see what we're dealing with here. I don't know, man. I it's hard to fathom this many injuries being a coincidence, but point, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going on. Is it just bad luck, or does it have something to do with not building up the right muscles in the right spot? So you are rolling your ankle, or you are twisting your knee because you didn't have a strong enough outer muscle. I don't know. Again, I didn't even think I took any sort of biology class in high school, so I'm the wrong guy to ask about this.
That's part of it. For me, I can't really speak about the medical aspect of it, so I don't know how big of a. I can't imagine it being that big of a difference when you're talking about these guys who are doctors, basically.
Right.
And they're working for teams and what am I going to say to them? They'll be like, oh yeah, you know what? Dude?
You got to start working on your ACL strength.
Yeah. Here's my advice. Stretch.
Did you make sure to do enough reps on your MCL?
How about some squats, huh?
Yeah. There you go. I think that's a thing, right?
So, like, the only, yeah, my response is kind of like before is like, I don't know. I have no idea. And
yeah, I mean, you have to look at it, of course. I mean,
but I love that he is. And he's like, look,
yeah.
And I think Shanahan was on the same vibe as what we were when Renee first asked us this question. And now it's to the point where it's like, well, we got to at least look at it because this is, right. It's too much for too long now.
Yeah, yeah, you can't just keep dismissing it if it just right. keeps happening.
No, I agree. Let's go to Ladarian via email. He said, I think we should trade Matt Breida during the offseason. Not seeing that he's not a good player, but he's unreliable. He literally gets injured every game. How do you and Wink feel about this?
Well, that's why you can't trade him. Because you're not going to get enough for him because he can't stay on the field.
It's kind right? of the Nick Mullins thing. If you get the offer that makes sense, then go for it. But I don't think you're going to get that offer.
Yeah. I mean, is there really anybody on this team right now that you would not trade away for the right offer? No, right?
No.
Yeah, there's not.
There's a price for everybody, I think.
There's a price for everybody, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That's the game that, you know, that's football. That's the NFL. It's a game. It's a business. You know, it's one of those things. Yeah, if somebody came along, we're like, hey, you guys want a second-round pick for Breida? Of course we do.
Exactly.
I still think you're going to get anything close to that.
And I also think, and I'm also like, running back agnostic, right? And so I
seventh round, cool.
Whoever
he was undrafted,
whoever he puts in there next year is going to be fine. And I like Matt Breida, and he's good, and he's a great fit for the scheme. But
yeah, but like Alfred Morris looked like a stud again, week 17,
at 100 yards, and he's like, it's just like it's crazy. It's like I don't care who the running back is, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and McKinnon's coming back, so whatever.
And nobody's going to pay what it would cost. That's kind of the thing is like everybody has a price, but which players would actually a team paid the price for, and I don't think there's that many guys on the team that would actually have an offer. It's like, oh, that's a great offer, but still no.
Right. No, I don't think that's a thing.
Let's see here. What else do we have? This is from SF Till Death on Twitter. Why are there 41 bowl games compared to 19 in 1994? It's the equivalent to participation trophies. Football is getting sadder, softer by the day.
I thought money, that was money.
Yeah, money. I thought that was funny too. It's like these bowl games are flat ridiculous, man.
I haven't watched one bowl game.
And they're so, I mean, all the standard ones are fine, but there's, like he said, there used to be 19, and 20 years later, there's 41. And
I'll watch the national championship game.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like the Rose Bowl today, it's great to see good teams from conferences play and you know, teams you don't get to see play and powerhouses going at it. But the team that was fourth in the Mountain West playing against the team that was third in the Big Ten. Like, I don't want to see that. Nobody
wants
to see that.
We got six wins. We're in.
Yeah. And it's funny, the bowl eligible. Oh, are you bowl eligible? Yeah. We went 5-6 this year, or we went 6-5 this year. We're bowl eligible. It's like, oh, congratulations. Please don't be on TV.
Right. We could sell this. We could really sell it.
Yeah. It's out of control. And so, yeah. Do away with all those extra bowl games. I'm with that. I'm with SF Till Death on that one.
Just make it 8 bowl games, and it'll be a playoff.
Let's go to Sean to finish it off here. He said, is it just me, or are other 49ers fans not going to be as quick to get excited about football this summer like we did last summer?
Yeah, hashtag false hope.
Yeah, we mentioned that, and Sean, we're right on board. And I think most 49ers fans are a little fatigued. They're hype fatigued, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I am excited for next season just because it's a fresh start. Because like you said, the wind went out of our sails there in week 3.
And I think that'll build. I think when we're here on the show, like snapshot right now, the beginning of 2019, when we're talking in late August, there's going to be hype, especially when the 49ers add some big names in the offseason.
Yeah, we're going to be like going through the schedule, going to be like, oh, that's a win at Seattle, no problem. Oh, yeah, they're going to go into LA. Yeah, that's going to be an easy win.
Remember how easy that Bears win looked preseason when we did that?
Yeah. I actually had it as a loss.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. But I had 8 wins in a row right before that.
Oh, you saved it.
I did. Yeah, we had 4 differences. Right?
You were close. We had 2 wins in a row instead of 8.
Yeah. Yeah, it was starting with Arizona and ending with Seattle. But I also had them winning in Seattle in week 13.
Isn't that crazy that the only team with the worst record in the 49ers in the NFL beat the 49ers twice?
Right. Ugh, that's disgusting. Defensive MVP, I had Buckner, so that's good.
Good call,
I had
man.
Double-digit sacks on there, too.
Way to go out on a limb with that.
But I also had Goodwin going with 90 catches.
Oof. What did he have?
30, maybe, if that.
I think less. There was one point 24, he had 17 catches at the end of the season.
It was not good.
Yeah.
And it kind of happened right when I bought my Goodwin shirt, too.
Oh, dude, burn that. You jinxed the hell out of him.
That was... Consider it burnt.
All right, we're running out of time here. Let's get out of here. Thanks for joining me, Nick.
Hey, my pleasure, buddy.
Nice to be back chatting with you on Wednesdays.
Yeah, Weeky Wednesdays back in full effect. 23 catches, 23.
23, wow. Congrats to Craig for winning that jersey. Hit me up on Twitter in the DMs. My DMs are open. And thanks to everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.
See you.